T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Tigers Twins this afternoon. Joining us now via the Troy Laser hotline is Tiger manager Ron Gardenhire. 1,100 wins. Congratulations.
Thanks. I really wasn't paying much attention to it until I got ambushed, as I said last night. And you know what? That's, like I said, a lot of years managing and a lot of good players help you do things like that.
Last night's game, briefly, he had 12 hits, which was really good. Kind of odd to have 12 hits when 2-3 and 4, Candelaria, Castellanos, and Victor went 0 for 12. What's that say about the bottom of the lineup and what they did last night?
Well, we've always said you kind of stretch out your lineup. You kind of try to balance it out the best you can. But, those guys down there did their job. They rolled it over, really well. And they also came up with some big hits as we went along. Nico had a great day, and Hicksy got on, three times or so, three singles or whatever it was. And Griner got a big hit. And then that was pretty cool. And then Reyes, I think, that hit for him, that was real special. Having that kid come in a big situation and shoot that ball the other way like he did, was see that kid smiling like that and getting a big hit for us is really, really fun.
Hey, Ron, you got to be pretty proud of these guys. On Tuesday night, it was pretty somber. We find out about Miguel Cabrera being done for the season. Then you're able to turn it around on Wednesday. And a lot of that credit does go to you. Nick Castellanos said as soon as it was addressed that Miggy was done for the season, you went in there and you said, hey, Nick, turn up the music. And it was back to the normal clubhouse, it seemed like.
Well, you know what? There's a lot of tough stuff happens in this game, and we all felt really terrible for him. But the game was, a rough one, too. We lost it late and still had some fight in us, but couldn't come back and get them. So there was a lot going on, and those are those moments where you can do nothing or you can actually say, forget it. We got to come back and play tomorrow no matter what happens. And these guys have actually been rising to the occasion, all summer, and it's been fun to watch. And we know we're not a perfect team, but we know that we have a lot of fight in us and that we got a lot of grit. And it's a really entertaining group to be around. So I expected that, and that's kind of why I said that. Turn on the music. Let's go. It's not who we are. We're a bunch of guys that are loose, and let's forget about what's going on here and come back tomorrow. And that's all I said. It was pretty basic.
We know what a healthy Miggy does for this team and what his loss means. But what does the loss of Miggy mean off the field in the clubhouse?
Yeah, you know what? He's been one of those guys. He's from day one in spring training. He'd worked really hard, during the off season to get himself in good shape, and he was bouncing around. And as I've said, being from the other side, watching him in the dugout, hearing him yelling and hooting and hollering all the time, always wondering what the heck he was talking about and saying. Was he mad at us? So now I was in the dugout with him, and he was just pumping up the guys and keeping them laughing. And he likes to mess with the other team, and he's an entertaining guy, not to mention, he's one of the better hitters I've ever seen in this game when he's healthy. So, it's big, and he's going to be around. He's going to have this surgery, and he's going to do some of his stuff here, and we'll have him around. But, we're going to miss him out on that baseball field. He's a big hitter in the middle of your lineup, and it's hard to take those guys out.
The other night with the Jimenez deal, I don't want to rehash that per se. That was great conversation, second-guessing, went back and forth. I know you and my partner here had a nice little exchange after the game. But I want to ask about the whole high-leverage situation. It seems maybe – I don't know if La Russa was the first guy to do it, but you have your seventh-inning guy, your eighth-inning guy, your ninth-inning guy, and you've deemed Jimenez to be the eighth-inning guy. When or is it – does it make sense to have – maybe not that, but have a guy you use in high leverage situations, no matter if it's the seventh, eighth, or ninth?
Well, yeah, we've looked at that, and I know some teams can do that. And the teams that do that really have a really strong bullpen, and they're able to, say this guy's going to pitch in this situation, and you've got to have other guys that be able to pick up the slack. Say you want to put Jimenez because he's facing the biggest part of the lineup in the seventh. You put him in the seventh, well, you still have to get the ball to the closer in the eighth. So somebody's going to have to pitch in the eighth, and that's the problem that we've had. We've had trouble finding that somebody that can bridge the gap to get to Jimenez, and then so if you pitch him early, who's going to bridge the gap to get to Greeny? So, you know, you got to have a good situation. I've had this before when I managed at the other place, and we had those situations where I had two or three guys, and I saved them for those high leverage situations, and that's, you know, I use them, and it was working, but we're trying to find the people that can handle those situations right now. And you know what? It's a work in progress. We're trying to develop some of these kids and trying to see, understand them, you know, what makes them tick. And you know what? We're not quite there in some of those situations.
Hey, Ron, I wanted to ask you about Terry Collins. Audio of Terry Collins and Tom Hallion from like 2 years ago comes available. And it's all over the internet. I'm sure you've seen it by now. But Terry Collins sounds like Joe Pesci yelling at umpire Tom Hallion. And I wonder, I mean, if some Ron Garden hire conversations and umpire conversations got out, what would they sound like? Like, is this what a normal, have you heard the audio, I guess, number one? And number two, is this what a normal umpire manager conversation sounds like when the umpire has to toss the manager?
I haven't heard it. And if you probably were to hear my conversations, it would probably be on HBO or Showtime, because probably the language gets a little strong at times when you go back and forth. And I've honestly had some really fun conversations with those guys, arguing with them, and some of the lines they come back at you with is after the fact is really funny. So you know, I haven't heard it. I had Chad, our wonderful PR director here, come in telling me that I should listen to it, but you know what? I've been there and done it way too many times, so I don't need to hear somebody else.
That's the problem with replay. You don't have as many arguments with you and the umpires anymore.
Yeah, you just hold up your hand and say, I challenge you. So, you know what? I love conversations with those guys, and we still laugh about some of the stuff that's happened in the past. And, you know, they know I was a fire guy, but they also, most of them, understood why I argued with them, and that was to keep my players in the game, get all the focus on me, and instead of my player arguing with them, and they all mostly understood that, and you know, I've always respected those umpires. I love those guys, and they do a great job for us, and it's always fun when you can go out there and argue with a guy and get some tension out, and then walk back and laugh about it later.
Hey, Ron, you ever play up to the crowd? Like, you start arguing, and obviously you want to stick up for your guys, but next thing you know, the crowd at Minnesota or Detroit goes crazy.
Take off your shoe, put it in the guy's nose like that minor league guy.
You ratchet it up a little bit?
No, well, I've kicked my hat a few times. I punted it once, and that got me suspended. They said I started a riot because everybody – in the stadium in Minnesota started throwing their hats on the field after I punted mine. That, and I didn't know it because I just had argued with an umpire. He threw me out, and I punted my hat, and I walked in, and I got thrown out, and I walked right up the stairs. And when I get up there, all the guards were laughing, saying everybody threw their hats on the field. And I'm like, oh, my, that's not going to go over very well. So not only did I get kicked out, I stopped the game because they had to clean up all the hats. So kind of like hockey. You know,
they are a hockey city.
So. Yeah, absolutely they are. And you know what? I think Ozzie Guillen, I think Ozzie was the one, he started the whole thing because he threw his hat from the Chicago White Sox dugout. He threw his hat on the field and everybody just followed suit and they blamed it on me.
We were talking about the shift earlier in the program and guys like Victor Martinez, the older guys who don't seem to be able to go the opposite way when it's there. For us who've never played the game at a high level, it just seems so easy. Why doesn't he just go oppo? You know, how difficult is that to change due to the shift for somebody to go to the opposite field?
Well, you know, your strength is to jerk the ball. And you remember when Victor was really going good, he put the ball in his seats a lot. And, you know, we didn't shift way back in the day. And he's, you know, got a lot of hits that way. And it's the way they pitch you. They're cutting the ball in on your hands. They're, you know, throwing soft stuff, trying to get you to pull the ball into where they're playing you. And that's kind of what happens in these shifts. We're going to pitch you a certain way, and this is where they're going to hit the ball. This is where we're putting all our people. And every once in a while, you'll see a guy, you know, bust the shift. But they're trying to force you into hitting the ball there because that's why they're playing you. And that's, I think a lot of people don't really understand that. Why wouldn't you just try to hit it the other way? It's not that easy when they're, like, throwing cutters on your hands and making you pull the ball. And that's exactly what, you know, that's the tough part of it.
A lot of fans are suggesting, and we know how those go, and some media too as well, with the Miggy injury, that people are saying, have Castellanos play first base because he's not a great fielder, and bring up Kristen Stewart to DH a little bit. Why are those things bad ideas?
Because the GM says so, that's why. I mean, that's pretty simple there. I mean, the GM says this is the way it's going to be. He'll bring Stewart up when he gets ready and when everybody in the organization deems it's time. And, we said we're going to do this thing, and when he hired me, this is the way we're going to go. And, I'm living with it. I like it. I think Nicky's working his tail off out in right field. You just keep trying to move people around. If he goes to first base, he's going to have to learn how to do that. And during the course of a major league season, that's not easy to do either. So he's working out there, and he's busting his butt, and he has some good moments and, some tough moments. But that's all part of, developing yourself. He's a young man, and he can do some things. So we're not going to mess with him too much. And just let him play. Just let him out there every day and play, and that's the only way he's going to get better.
A lot of you guys are going to be watching the World Cup in the locker room the next month?
I would imagine so. There's some of these people. I like soccer. I know this. So my son played it all through high school and everything, so I enjoy soccer. It's one of those games you have to have a taste for because, there's not a lot of scoring going on, and I think, we're used to scoring. But if you enjoy that sort of thing, great. I do. I like to watch it, and I will watch it.
Do you have a rooting interest? Since we're not
really
in it? Okay.
Not really. I just enjoy, I think it's a fascinating sport because we do everything with our hands, in the United States sports-wise. And now, you watch these guys do amazing things with just their feet. That's incredible. So, like I said, I grew up watching my kid play, so that was always good.
All right, Ron, thanks a lot. As always, good luck this afternoon,
thanks,
and we'll talk to you soon.
You got it, guys. All right, we'll talk to you.
All right. Ron Gardenhire, manager of your Detroit Tigers. Heather in the news coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.